Paranormal Classroom, where we take attendance for the unexplained. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay. And we're two teacher moms talking about stuff that freaks us out. And yeah, we just recorded because we're doing some backup episodes or stockpiling episodes while I am traveling. I am leaving on Friday to be in D.C. for 16 days, and I leave immediately from D.C. to go to Europe. So not sure I'm going to have a lot of time for podcast-ish, but we're trying to cover some bases. We have a few in the hopper now, at least three. And
Welcome to the hopper. Welcome to the hopper episode.
Yep. Is there anything else haunting you that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, I'm teaching my daughter how to drive right now, and that is very haunting.
But you have the cutest sticker on the side of your car or whatever that says, "I'm freaking trying, student driver." That's perfect for your daughter. Perfect.
How about you?
No, I'm a little worried about getting our deck done in our backyard.
Yes. By the end of the summer?
Well, we have to host my daughter's graduation party August 23rd.
Oh.
So I get back August 16th. I have to go back to work, as do you, August 19th.
Yes, I do.
And her party is that Saturday, the 23rd.
Yikes. I'm sorry.
My kids and husband and friend are supposed to work on it next week before they... The next 2 weeks before they come out to D.C. Yeah. So hopefully they can get that done. The friend is supposed to teach them how to install the railings. And then they can just crack that out. As long as they have the railings, we'll be in good shape. Then we can just clean up the yard, clean up the extra stuff. Like, we won't have the lattice done. We won't have the details done. But the 90% of the deck will be good to go. If we can just get the stairs, one more set of stairs, and the railings done. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's going to be a graduation party / work party. And as guests come, you're going to be like, here's your task.
Oh, God. That's not how you do a party.
You get it done fast. But
that's not how you do a party. Here's your section of railing and your instructions. Figure it out. Ugh. I just turn on my heels and run. Okay, so we just recorded one episode. We're jumping into another one. But they're both a little bit shorter, so that's nice. For everybody. Alrighty, so here's your hook. Today, we're traveling to Eastern Europe, to a quiet village in Hungary.
Ooh.
Where one of the eeriest urban legends I've ever read originates. It's a ghost story that blends romance, revenge, and a strange supernatural twist, one that leaves behind a very literal cold spot. This, my friend, is the story of the Marbled Bride.
Never heard of it.
Yes!
You're two for two tonight.
Yes!
Never heard of that.
Okay. Have you heard of Hungary?
I have heard of Hungary.
It always cracked me up as a kid that there was a country named Hungary and another one named Turkey, and I was like, they should get together.
You dork. I love that.
Okay. The tale begins in the early 1800s. In the Hungarian countryside near, and I have a pronunciation guide for this one, Székesfehérvár. That's right. I'm only going to say it once. Where local legend speaks of a beautiful young woman named Ilona, whose family had arranged her marriage to a wealthy nobleman. But on the night before her wedding, tragedy struck. What do you think it was, Amanda?
I think the man they set her up with thought she didn't match her portrait. And he was like, no.
Did not match her Tinder profile.
You lied to me. Yeah, you've catfished me. Mm. And he just ended her.
That seems extreme. Like,
well, isn't that what they did? They would do
that. Yeah, there was some of that. Especially if they found out that, you know, she wasn't a virgin. Which usually was their fault, right? Because they propose and then have sex with her and then go, never mind. And well, now she's quote unquote ruined.
Ruined. They would use that word. Ruined.
Yeah, you've ruined me. Well,
But I'm sure I'm wrong. What
do you think it was? You think it was murder?
I think it was, yes, a human murder in a patriarchal society where marriages are arranged and women get the short stick kind of situation.
Okay. Well, the answer is it depends on which version of the story you believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but they all agree on this. On the eve of her wedding, Ilona was found dead, frozen solid, her entire body as cold and stiff as marble, hence the nickname, the marbled bride. So here's where it gets weird, because it already wasn't.
Yeah, I know, that's like Medusa.
Now here's the weird part. According to a 19th century local priest's account, written in a parish journal now held in the, oh God, I have to say it again, Székesfehérvár, diocesan, nice. Thank you, diocesan archives. Diocesan is almost just as hard a word. was neither rotted nor buried, end quote, but instead placed inside a stone crypt within the village chapel and preserved as if time had simply stopped.
Whoa. What do they do to this body?
We're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Some possibilities. But this priest says, or the diocesan rep that's in the journal of 1842, entry 12 from the diocesan archives, "I have touched the girl's hand with my own," the priest wrote. "She is as stone, not of flesh, nor of death as I know it. She is not decomposed. Her skin is like wax, but cold as the Danube in winter," end quote.
I'm racking my brain for scientific things I may have heard of that would do this to a body, and I'm drawing
like a blank. Immediately.
I have heard of, I think I'll Google it, but I have heard of some kind of illness where you freeze, you like statue up because every muscle in your body,
like rigor mortis type of thing,
respond, but you're alive. So like,
oh shoot, that sucks.
It's horrible. I'm not sure you survive it, but I wonder if
is that have you listened to the podcast Blinked?
No. Dude, but I love it.
Yes. It's a true story, and it's co-hosted by one of the girls from Two Girls, One Ghost, and the man that it's about.
Oh, his story, cool.
Jake. I can't remember his last name.
What's it called again?
Blinked.
Blinked. Okay.
You have to listen
to
it.
I will listen
to it.
It's
amazing.
Okay, so this...
He's an incredible human.
There's a disease. The statue disease is a nickname for fibrodysplasia ossificans progressive.
Oh, so like...
FOP. It's a rare genetic disorder that causes muscle, tendons, and ligaments to gradually turn to bone.
What?
Effectively turning the body into a living statue.
Oh, hell no.
But it happens over time. It wouldn't just happen overnight, on the night of the girl's wedding.
Does it start, like, from the bottom of your feet?
I think it can start anywhere in the body, but it will travel.
Ooh,
and
God.
There was... Yeah, I remember I saw, like, one of those news pieces about a woman who had it, and, like, half of her body, like, her leg... was complete bone, couldn't move.
What?
Yeah.
How do you even survive? Like,
this process called heterotopic ossification restricts movement and can lead to severe disability.
That's wild. How do you survive that? Like, how do you... Because I'm thinking of just, like, blood flow and... That's wild.
I mean,
but
it's progressive.
But that's a slow progressive process. This was overnight. And she didn't decay afterward. Like... They found her, and she just was waxy and cold, supposedly.
Yeah, that's... It's just...
For a while.
It sounds almost similar. It's the closest I think I've heard of.
She wasn't embalmed, so people can't explain why she was cold and waxy and not decaying.
How long did they wait to see if she would...
14 minutes.
I know, because...
Oh, she's... Yep.
She's not decaying.
She must be a saint.
Or was it, like, a month?
Well, let's read on.
Okay.
Let's see. Now, there are theories, of course. So, one says Ilona's death was caused by a jilted lover. There's always a jilted lover somewhere in the story. Who poisoned her with a rare toxin that created a rapid onset catatonic state followed by death and muscular freezing. Others think she was the victim of a folktale curse. Specifically one that punishes young women who betray a vow of chastity before marriage. Bleh. It wasn't that. I'm just going to go straight and say it wasn't that. In a 1981 interview with Hungarian folklorist, get ready, Erzsébet Halász, one village elder, Maria Szántó, that's a lot easier to say, mm-hmm. but it's spelled S-Z-A-N-T-O.
Szántó.
She was then 90 years old. So she remembered being taken, supposedly remembered, being taken to see the marble bride's tomb as a child.
Whoa.
Yeah. So this was what she said, quote, my grandmother, because of course she did, my grandmother made me touch her toe, she said, laughing. It was like ice, ice that never melts. She looked like she was sleeping, not dead. The nuns would whisper prayers and no one was allowed to stay long. Sound familiar? With
yes.
the corpse walkers? Yes. Don't stay too long, no lingering.
Don't wait too long. But that could be that it's a show, that it's a,
right.
a sham, a scam.
A shim sham.
A flim flam.
Rift. Flim flam. So it wasn't just a ghost story told in the dark. People actually saw her. Her preserved corpse became the center of a quiet. Hold on, I gotta yawn. Excuse me. Edit. Her preserved. Or not, because we're real humans. her preserved corpse became the center of a quiet pilgrimage in the 1930s. So back
oh.
up. This happened in 1842, right?
Yes.
Flash forward to 1930s, and people would go see her.
There would, in 1930, you would have a camera too. I mean, one that would take a long time to take a picture, but you would
yeah.
have that.
I bet they wouldn't let it. I bet they wouldn't let you in there with one of those flash.
One of those photos. Those fancy new.
You get out of here with that photo machine, that soul trapping device. Villagers from nearby towns would sneak into the old chapel and swear they could hear her crying. Okay. In a 1937 article in the Budapest newspaper, Esti Kurir, a journalist described it like this. Another witness, Amanda. Not one, not two,
good job,
but
Lindsay.
Three
good job,
witnesses.
Lindsay. I love witness. Well, this one for sure has something to it, right? Because these are recent mm-hmm. witnesses, too.
Yeah.
I would consider the 30s.
Fairly recent. The kids today wouldn't, but we do. Quote, the air was colder around her crypt. Even in summer, it was 10 degrees cooler near her tomb. A villager told me her tears leave streaks on the stone during thunderstorms and that her gown never gathers dust. And that
what
was from
heck?
From an article called The Bride of Ice in Village Chapel, July 4th, 1937.
So she's not just frozen in time, but she's emitting cold temperature into the space around her.
She's like a dry ice.
Yeah.
Because no dust is settling.
Wow.
There's tears coming off of her. That's weird. It's weird.
It's weird that... I still She's think like it could be a
ghostly
flim flam, shim sham, where everyone who comes to visit, it's just a different person laying in there in that moment, who's just come out of an
like
ice bath.
They have shifts. Rotate. There's like a little trap door. The one slides down a chute and the other one pops in.
Well, they can't stay long or they'll warm up, right? So they got to be like fresh out of the
Oh, they keep
freezer.
Them in a freezer?
Wait, how long can you be in a freezer? Maybe 10 minutes. So they do 10 minutes in a freezer, then they do their shift.
You'd be chattering like crazy. They have to glue
Maybe.
Your mouth shut. And people would hear you breathing because your mouth is shut and you're like... You'd have to. No, I think it's just something bizarre. So, the legend behind her haunting. The most commonly told version says her spirit remains bound to the place she was meant to begin her new life. She's trapped between joy and sorrow, caught in the liminal space between bride and widow, between life and death. But the creepiest part, are you ready for the creepiest
yes.
part? What do you think the creepiest part's going to be?
She jumps up and... Jazz hands.
At noon every day, she does a tap dance. But it's weird because it seems like there's some strange men holding her up with sticks. In recent years, multiple visitors to the ruined... By the way, that was called a callback. Except if you didn't listen to last week's episode about corpse walkers, you're going to be real confused.
Time is so confusing to me in our episodes, the last few episodes. Oh, no, hang on. Yeah, baby. I'm in the gravel lot across the way. You're not done, are you?
We're not doing drugs or anything.
What do you mean you're done?
Oh,
We're still recording. What time did, is it? What time is it?
It's 8 o'clock. On the button.
8 o'clock? But come on over. Is it okay for her to listen to the...
Sure.
Do you want to... Will you join us for the last half of our podcast, babe? She's already
coming over.
Now you're a star, baby. Oh, you were the only person there right today? Did you get your pants?
Yeah.
Okay. She left her pants there yesterday.
Oh. Why are you freaking out? I leave my pants there every single week. And my water bottle and my shoes. Is this the first time you've heard about this?
You don't have to buckle because we're not going anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Except into some awesomeness in the story. So here's the... We'll give you the quick and dirty like summary. So it's in Hungary, 1930s. This woman is supposed to get married to an arranged dude, a noble dude. She ends up dead, mysteriously dead, overnight. They find her body the next day. She is ice cold and she does not decompose. There's 50 years later, she's still trucking. And as far as just being a solid human form, not decomposing, in a crypt, people are touring it regularly. She's cold, the air around her is cold, and that's kind of where we've left off.
It's like Anna in Frozen, where she just kind of turned to...
Yes, but she's waxy. They've described her as waxy and cold, and supposedly her dress doesn't gather dust, and her eyes leak and stain the stone around her like she's crying. So here's the creepiest part, Amanda. Multiple visitors to the ruined chapel, now mostly overgrown and closed to the public. That's creepy.
Why
right
is it
there.
Closed? Why wouldn't you still...
Who's going to take care of it? Like, some people have to volunteer.
Yeah, but I mean, if this is truly a marvel of science, now in 2025, I'd like to get a scientist in there. Why'd they close it? That's very sus
well,
to me.
Sure. So now mostly overgrown and closed to the public, multiple visitors have reported seeing, of course, a pale woman in a wedding gown standing by the altar. One tourist, Zofia Erdersch, shared her experience in a 2011 travel blog. Not that long ago.
No.
Quote, "I thought it was a mannequin at first, a bridal figure standing perfectly still, but then she turned, slowly. No face, just the suggestion of one. When I blinked, she was gone." And that's from a blog post in Ghosts of Shakeshvihar.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got any thoughts on that?
No.
Girlfriend?
No.
I'm not sure I'd blog about it. Like, I'd be shouting it from... I would be going into all the little cafes, knocking on the neighbor's doors. Yo, why isn't it anybody? Why aren't we taking care of this, maintaining this church? And but I guess you'd have to know the history of it to know...
That she's
could,
there?
That she could be her, I guess. I don't know. So there's one last detail that might be the strangest of all. The tomb? It's gone. In 2014, a renovation project uncovered what was believed to be Ilona's burial spot, but the coffin was empty.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Because the job's over.
Yep.
The job's off the market.
Yep. Contract was up. No signs of the body. No marble. No remains. Just a carved heart in the floor with the initials IV. Her initials.
Wow.
She vanished. So some think she vanished. Others say she was never real. That it was all a form of collective grief or folklore grown into local religion. But whether she ever truly existed, the marbled bride still haunts the memories of a village and those who dared visit her.
I don't like that people are seeing her in her wedding dress. I don't like the concept that, like, this ghost is so sad because she never got married when...
She wore a lot of things before that one night.
Yes, that's what
I'm
saying.
And she wouldn't have been wearing her wedding dress the night before.
No.
They must have buried her in it or, like, displayed her in it.
Yeah. It just really bothers me that there's this...
That's her identity.
Social, like, yeah, that this is her identity. And she's so sad.
She never got married.
She never got to get married. When really, like...
She was probably forced to.
Married women live shorter lives than married men and flip, you know, unmarried
yes,
women
just,
live longer
yes.
than unmarried men.
Yeah. Statistically. I mean, it's not like guaranteed. you're not shortening your lifespan automatically by getting married. Yeah, so who knows? Could be some sort of like supernatural preservation. I've told you the story about the supposedly non-decomposing saint that I saw in Mexico, right? when I was an exchange student.
No. Did you really see a body?
Yeah. But I'm telling you, he was full on decomposing. And I hope that doesn't make me a blasphemous, but pretty sure when the toes and fingers are falling off, that's a sign of decomposition. But he's in a glass case.
Okay. Maybe with less oxygen or something.
He's Let me find a picture for less. You.
I don't want to see a picture.
Oh, no, you do. It is... I can't remember which saint he is. They sainted him because supposedly he didn't.
Zozo, what do you think it is?
Oh, the blessed Sebastian de Aparicio in the Templo de San Francisco. He was a Franciscan friar who was beatified in 1789. And I saw him in 92.
Whoa.
He's considered the patron saint. This was hilarious. I shouldn't say it's hilarious. I found it sweet and charming, but also sort of comical. He was the patron saint of drivers by the people of Puebla, which is a city that I lived in. Uh-huh. So the friars, the priests at this church would bless people's cars. So people would bring their cars and they would bless their cars. So and I probably should take mine down there and have it done.
Yes, you should.
As I'm saying.
Absolutely.
So his remains are housed in a glass coffin within a chapel of the church, and I have seen it. Yeah. The term incorruptible refers to the belief that his body did not decay after death, a characteristic that is revered by many. But I am telling you, he is decaying. So that's it from a distance. So
like
then
it's
you
just
can walk
than...
around him. There's his face.
I would expect it to be a lot more decomposed.
I think, well, again, I don't want to be blasphemous, but I feel like they have altered it. Like, it's not, I could be wrong, but it looked like it had been almost like a wax casting.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't actual human remains anymore, but I could be totally wrong. And obviously they've created, like, an oxygen deprived environment for him. They've sucked out, you know, air and bacteria and all the things that would cause it to decompose. So that's going to slow some things down. So I don't know that it's fair to say, leave him out in the open for a bit, toss him on a pew and see what happens.
Right.
Then if he doesn't decompose, he might have me.
I'm just Googling here. There are poisons and bacteria and fungi and stuff that can affect decomposition. It can either slow it down or speed it up. They affect the microorganisms and insects responsible for decomposition. Certain pesticides can speed up or slow down. Embalming fluids, which you know about, can help preserve. So maybe she had an actual poisoning or something. But I don't know that it would slow it down significantly.
Yeah. It seems like there's easier ways to off somebody. If you don't want to marry them, or if you're mad because they are getting married, or whatever, like, no one at that time is going to punish you if you strangle the woman.
That's so sad.
But you know what I mean?
Like, I do, yeah.
Frankly, you'd be hard-pressed to be punished nowadays.
Yeah.
So, who knows? I just think it's a little extra if you go that extra mile to take someone out. I don't know. All right. Looking at my notes. So we study these stories, though, not just to get creeped out, but to ask ourselves how we remember tragedy and why some stories, especially in villages where people stay the same families for generation after generation after generation, that they become legend and stories that just won't be
incredible.
So thanks for listening to the Paranormal Classroom. Be sure to follow us, rate, review, yell at us, tell us things, shoot us an email, paranormalclassroom@gmail.com. Amanda's awesome at checking our social media, so especially on Facebook and Instagram. Hit us up, send us your cool stories, your own story ideas you'd like us to take a casual, shallow dive into. And thanks for listening. We really appreciate you guys.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
It means a lot.
You're part of our friend circle. Weird people.
The weirdos who get it.
Like me and Lynn's. Yep.
Yeah. All right, until next time.
Zo, do you want to say class dismissed nice and loud? Say class dismissed.
Class dismissed. Why did I sound like an 8-year-old?
Say it again. Say it like a 25-year-old.
Okay. Class dismissed.
I love that.
And don't open the door.
That was dead serious.
Yes, it was.